Aloha everyone, good morning. We just had a little technical glitch up here. I'm Reverend Alika.
Aloha and good morning. I am Kate Axe. I will be your liturgist for this morning service.
There are things we need to share with you before we begin our service, so let me begin. If you have any cell phones or electronic devices, please silence them. If you have any requests for prayers, there are pew cards in front of you. If you fill those out, Tony and Cindy will collect them at the end of our announcements, and we'll share those during our prayer time in the service. There are a couple of things I would like to bring to your attention. First, the flowers for this morning's service come from the wedding of Scott and Sue Geib of Palatine, Illinois, and they're back here. So the flowers on the altar. And the lays on the cross. They've been together 28 years. And they finally got married. Yeah. Anyway, and the lays on the cross are from the wedding as well. We also have roses, flowers from the memorial service for Carol Minich that was held here yesterday. So mahalo to Scott and Sue and to the Minich Ohana. This morning, there are a couple other things. CWHL, the acronym is Children with Hair Loss. There are forms out on the greeter's table if you want to make a hair donation, and this is for children who have been diagnosed with cancer and suffered hair loss. There's a form out there that Mishan Tanaka at the early service has asked that if people are willing to know people who have be willing to donate hair for the kids. I guess they make them into hair pieces. So if you know any hula dancers that have like 12 feet of hair, they only need 8 inches, so you can buy, or else when they're sleeping, you can be Samson and Delilah. No. And then finally, we're pleased to welcome Sarah Sorensen to our service this morning. Sarah is the founder and director of Wishing Well for Maui Students. There's information on the back of your worship bulletin. It's a program to establish to improve educational experiences and opportunities for students in our public schools throughout Maui. She's here to share when the keiki during our children's time. She'll share about her work, and she's right over here. So this is Sarah.
I have two things to share with you. First, our annual Ho'okupu Makahiki, or annual appeal, is held each year from November 1st to December 31st. The appeal is an opportunity for you to offer an additional gift in support of the operating budget of the church. Your gift, in addition to your regular offering, will help support the various ministries of the church, from our Sunday school program to our music ministry program and the work of our Board of Trustees, our Board of Deacons, and Outreach Committee, and Hui Aloha O Kevalai, our caregiving unit. We invite you to provide a gift and ask that you note in writing on your check or on the offering envelope, annual appeal. Second, the fall season is filled with lots of activities from Thanksgiving to Advent to Christmas, and with many other activities in between. Each year, we invite members and friends to offer their kukua with the poinsettias and Christmas wreaths that will fill the sanctuary. The sign-up sheet for the flowers and wreaths is available at the greeter's table. A donation of $5 is requested, but not required. You will find an envelope for your donation attached to the sign-up sheet. We ask that you indicate on the sign-up sheet if your gift is in memory of a loved one or in celebration of a special occasion. These will all be listed in our weekly worship bulletin throughout the Advent and Christmas season. Are there any other announcements?
Okay, Thanksgiving is coming. We'll have a service on Thursday, 11 o'clock. It's always a beautiful service. And then following a Thanksgiving dinner that's always really yummy, lots of good food and lots of good fellowship. If you haven't already signed up and would like to, the book is going to be out by Aloha Hour. And also, if you bring a hot dish, if you could bring it in a crock pot, we will have a plug mold and plug everything in so it'll stay nice and warm while we're having our service. And if you bring something cold, it would be nice if you could bring it in a cooler. We do have two refrigerators, but they seem to get packed full of stuff. So that would be very helpful. The two tables for the hot and cold food will be in the Sunday school room. So when you come, you can just bring it into the Sunday school room. There'll be somebody to help. Thank you.
And the turkey and gravy will be provided, so we need the side dishes.
Good morning. 2 weeks from today, on December 2nd, is the annual Christmas fair. We'll be selling homemade crafts and baked goods. This is all on page 11 of your bulletin. I've been asked to point out that we're looking for newly made things, not lightly used things. This is not an opportunity to get rid of your used things. The drop-off will be the day before, Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. The fair itself will run between the services. And after the second service, sign-ups will be outside after the service. Thank you.
And the sign-up is just to give the committee an idea about what's coming in to the fair.
We welcome those of you who are visiting us for the first time, or if you are returning to us again. If you are able, please stand. Aloha and welcome. We invite you to join us for our Aloha Hour following our time of worship. As we begin our service, we ask that you be in quiet meditation. Thank you. As we begin our call to worship, we ask that you remain standing if you are able. We will be reciting from page 3 of the worship bulletin.
And before we do the reading, sometimes the computers cannot read the Hawaiian. So where you see those little boxes, I'll just fill in as we go so you can... Sorry, when it does spell check, it's not quite sure what the Hawaiian words are, so here we go. E ho'ola mai o ia'u e ke akua, ke hilina'i aku nei au ia'oe, e ku'u hane ua i aku oe ia Yehova. O'oe no ko'u haku, a'ole e hiki aku ko'u mai ka'i ia'oe.
Protect me, O God, for you and I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you.
O Yehova, ka i'o o ko'u ho'oilina, a me ko'u ki aha, ke ho'omau ne oe i ko'u pauku. Ua lilo mai na palena i a'u, i kahi e mahalo ai. Oia i'o, ua ili mai i a'u, ka aina mai ka'i.
The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage.
Ke vaiho mau nei no au ya Yehova, i mua o ko'u ala, o ia ma ko'u lima a kau, no laila au e kulana lana ole ai.
I keep the Lord always before me. Because the Lord is at my right hand, I shall not be moved.
No laila ko'u na'au e hau'oli nei, a e oli'oli nei ko'u nani.
Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. We ask that you remain standing as we sing our opening song this morning, All People That on Earth Do Dwell, hymn number 7 found in the New Century Hymnal.
Thank you.
As we recite our mission statement, we ask that you stand if you are able. We will be saying it first in Hawaiian, followed by English, and then we will sing the Lord's Prayer first in Hawaiian, followed by English, and that begins on page 5 of your worship bulletin.
Ho'okumu ia kai kalesia o keavala'i e ko mako mau kupuna I ku pa'a ma hope o ke aloha o ke akua mai ke kahi haunauna a ke kahi haunauna aku. O mako no na haumana a Yesu Christo e hea hea aku la me ke aloha I nā la hui a pau I ko mako ohana. Lave lave ia nā la hui a pau e ko ke avalai ma o kapilina uhane o ke kaya ulu akea. I ho'olokahi ia ka ho'omana kaliki ano me ka mo'o meheu Hawaii. Ke Avala'i Congregational Church, founded by our kupuna, is committed to sharing God's aloha from generation to generation. As haumana of Jesus Christ, we welcome all, love all, and accept all into our ohana. Ke Avala'i ministers to all through the spiritual gifts we share as a diverse community uniting our Christian faith and Hawaiian heritage.
Thank you.
seated. It is now time for our children and our youth.
Okay, so this morning you get to hear from one of our friends. So Sarah, you're going to have to use this for the people outside.
You want to hold on to it, or can you hold on to it? And,
sure.
Or so this is my friend Sarah, and at some point we'll open that banner. You tell me when you think. We have the big one. No? Okay. Tony, can you help me?
Hi, kids. My name is Sarah, and a long time ago, I was a school teacher. How many of you guys are in school? Oh, all of you. Wow. Are you guys in school? Preschool? Great. Well, as you probably know, you probably have friends in school that they just don't have everything you do. Have you ever had any of your classmates that maybe don't have a pencil or they don't have the crayons that everybody else has? I thought you did. Well, what I did is a long time ago, 11 years ago, I started a nonprofit that's like a charity to help all of our kids in our public schools. And so because I started, and that nonprofit is called The Wishing Well. Do you know what a wishing well is? It's where somebody can make wishes and hopefully their wish comes true, right? Well, what we do is we ask all of our public school teachers on Maui, and that means all three islands, what kind of things that they may need to help the kids who don't have things. And as Reverend Alika told you, 50 on the back of our program today, 52% of Maui County public schools, the Department of Education has deemed to be economically disadvantaged. They just, their parents cannot get those things. So with this nonprofit, what you guys do and what I have to first do is thank you from the bottom of our hearts, is because your outreach program gave our nonprofit $10,000 at our first inaugural fundraiser in August. And because of that, I cannot thank you enough. And it was so funny, is Reverend Alika's.
I'm over here.
Hi. He had told me, he said, what I want you to direct you is you must use these funds for our needy students. Well, that was like a match made in heaven right there, because literally and figuratively, that is what we try to do, is help our needy students. So again, we cannot thank you enough for jumping us over there. And as I said, sometimes a lot of people don't know. Do you guys know of anybody in your school that doesn't have a home to stay in? No. That's good. But because we have two homeless shelters here on Maui, and every school has so many homeless families that they even know about. So that's sort of like a silent group. And it turns out our public schools, where these kids, is their safe haven, because they are able to get food, they can be fed, they get educated, and at least during the day they have shelter. And we sort of like work like a bridge. You guys know what a bridge is? What it looks like? So it's got a big thing with two ends. So we have at one end those who need, and we have at the other end those who can give, and we try to put those things together. So everything you do will go to the schools. And one thing I learned, you don't have to worry about how many pages. if you put your speech in a big enough font, you don't need your glasses. So if you are ever in a situation where you're moving or you're modeling and you have, say, extra bookcases or an office chair or any sort of office supplies, things you want to donate, please keep us in mind. We will work about getting them to the schools. As Reverend Lika mentioned, I have a table out there. So I have a business card, so you can always call me and we can go from there trying to get things. But I know you know, school supplies, that's one thing. But one of the other things we do is have some very unusual requests that I thought, we had one teacher ask for a large cooler. It was elementary. And so I said, what do you need this for? Well, they wanted the cooler so the kids could put their lunches in them and the ants wouldn't get their food. You would not think that is a normal request. We had one teacher needed a very short stool, and she needed it because she had a child in a wheelchair. I don't know if you guys ever have kids in a wheelchair, but that teacher wanted it so she or the aide could sit at the same level as that child, just to be able to teach. Something, we always have teachers asking for healthy snacks. And this is particularly true at the intermediate level. At the elementary, they feed them. If the parent has fed, filled out the paperwork, they're fed. But not at the intermediate and high school. There's a embarrassment level where they don't let others know how hungry they are. So we have teachers asking for extra large rice cookers so they can cook breakfast for their kids. We have them asking for simple things like playground balls. The DOE does not always furnishing these things. So jump ropes, slippers. You would not know it, but the Department of Education, if a child has a slipper on and it breaks, what happens? If they don't have anything in the nurse's office, they have to go home. So we are always supplying slippers to the schools just so a child can stay in. One of the things, another one you would not necessarily guess at, is deodorant, shampoo. Generally, this is for the boys' phys ed teacher who asked this one. Having two sons and a grandson, I totally understand those requests. The other is we have a lot of preschools and younger ones, and they actually have asked for underwear, socks, things that, you know, accidents happen with kids. You wouldn't think that would be an educational thing, but it keeps them in school. So you can think of so many things they need. And as you guys may know this, there is a very famous author who once said, unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing is going to get better. It's not. Who do you think said that? Dr. Seuss, correct. So Dr. Seuss knew how each of us can make a difference, and you guys can make a difference too. So always remember to be kind to those kids who don't have something that you do. And if you want to know more about us, our website is ilovemauischools.com, one big word. And I'm out there afterwards, and I cannot, again, thank you so much for making a difference for our nonprofit. Sure do. Oh, see, things happen for a reason. Yes, we can. Thank you. And this is the banner that we had at the fundraiser, and you guys were our guest of honor. And
And I was asked to say something, and I had 3 minutes. I did it in two, so I guess she borrowed a minute from me. I said, you have 3 minutes. No,
But we were, some of us were out at the fundraiser, and they were very, Sarah and the rest of the folks from the group were very gracious to us, so we're thankful. And from time to time, we'll invite people to come to share with the rest of you what's going on with the work of the Outreach Committee. And this is just one.
Yes.
So thank you. Mahalo.
Thank you.
Or you can roll them up. Okay, so you're doing better. Okay. Oh my goodness, it's all over your dress.
Yeah.
We have a nosebleed. It happens in. Okay. Well, God bless you and make your nosebleed go away. You. So mahalo ke akua. Amen.
People of God, the Lord has given us so much. Let us praise the Lord through our gifts that the kingdom of God and the will of God may be done on earth as it is in heaven. We will receive the morning offering.
Gifts to you, O God, multiply them so that they might help to build up your kingdom here on earth. All glory, praise, and honor are due to you, you who are our refuge and our strength. Our hearts are glad and our souls rejoice, for we praise your name forever. Ke ho'onanine ko inoa amauloa. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading this morning is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 16 through 25. I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, which may be found on page 210 and 211 of your Pew Bible, or page 12 of your worship bulletin. This is the covenant that I will make with them after these days, said the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds, he also adds. I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtains, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a good priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. May God add his blessing to the reading of this morning.
Thank you, Kate. Continued prayers for all of those who are listed in our prayer list, especially those who have been diagnosed recently with an illness or those who are recovering. And we want to lift up in particular Brenda Albright of Lincoln, California and Wailea, Colleen Curran of Kihei, and Tina Firmanek of Kihei. All of them are undergoing treatment for cancer. We continue to pray for the more than 65 million men, women, and children around the world who have been affected by wars and armed conflicts. We pray especially for those in Yemen. At least 10,000 Yemenis have been killed in the 10-year war so far, and over 1 million are on the brink of a catastrophic famine. The Uyghurs in China and the Rohingyas in Myanmar continue to face persecution. We also pray for those affected by natural disasters around the world, and especially for first responders who place themselves in harm's way. Many of you know the death toll, at least the most recent I've seen from the devastating California wildfires, has risen to 76. In addition, the number of missing people is now over 1,200, and more than 13,000 structures have been destroyed. And in the worship bulletin, you'll see that as much as we are here in the middle of the Pacific, there are family and friends who have been affected by the fires, and so we continue to keep everyone in our prayers. We also include in our thoughts and prayers this morning victims of gun violence across the U.S. Every day, 96 Americans are killed by guns. But more than our thoughts and prayers, we call on our national leaders to seek reasonable ways to reduce gun violence. On Wednesday morning, a 2-year-old toddler in Birmingham, Alabama, appeared to have accidentally shot and killed himself with a gun that he found. He went into the bedroom where his father was sleeping and found the gun under a pillow. His great-grandmother said the boy was at home with his parents when he died. And living out here in Hawaii, we're not free from the violence that comes from guns. On Wednesday, neighbors feuding over a parked car in Haula on the island of Oahu. The feud led to a shooting that left one person dead. The U.S. spends less money on gun violence research than it does on almost any other leading cause of death in America. And without the research, policymakers do not have enough evidence about what works when it comes to reducing gun violence. So we call on our leaders to help with that. We remember the 27 victims of the recent gun violence in Pennsylvania, Kentucky, Florida, and California at a synagogue, a grocery store, a yoga studio, and a country western bar. The photographs in the windows continue to be of those who died. It's a reminder that finding ways to reduce gun violence is not about issues, but about saving lives. And I know, I guess during midweek, the first winter storm went across the country. So it's nice it went that way. And we're here in Hawaii, so we're very happy with our winter weather. Having said that, we have a visitor from Cleveland, Ohio, who happens to be the daughter of Ann and Roger Rao and sister of John, Wendy Miano, and she's visiting. Where is she? There she is. So welcome. And others of you, we will always say, if you're visiting in Malahini, a newcomer, welcome to Maui. If you're returning, welcome back home. Let us pray. You are, O God, the Ancient of Days. We confess that we are often easily held captive to our times and confined to the narrow spaces of our own experiences. So often we have dismissed your presence in our lives, believing that your laws are out of date and that your word has no relevance for us today. But in the wretched days of our own deceits, our pretenses are shaken. When the stars fall and the moon gives no light, when suffering leads to despair, we sense within ourselves our own shallow hypocrisy. Where, O God, is the vision we need? Will you reveal to us once again a Savior? Will you help us to encounter the one of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Savior? You are gracious and merciful, O God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Your goodness and compassion inspire our gratitude. Your spirit draws us into covenant with you and with one another. Your forgiveness frees us to accept new life. And so we pray that you would put your law of love in our hearts and write them on our minds, to call forth from us once more the tender branches that extend life to others, so that Christ may live in our words and deeds. Hear us then, as we pray for one another, for others, and for the world in which we live. Empower us to live a life of service to others. May the peace of Christ then rule in our hearts, that we may be instruments of your peace on earth. O Kamalu, O Christo, Kalulo I kako na'au, Ihiki ia kako ke lilo, Imea ho'ohano I komalu makahunua. Amen.
As we sing our Hawaiian hymn this morning, we ask that you stand if you are able. We will be singing hymn number 496, the Kolumea Nui, found in the New Century Hymnal.
Maikai. Mahalo. The second reading for this morning comes from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, and I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. This is God's Word. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign of all these things, that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place. But the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." May God bless the reading of the word. Amen. A fault line in the Atlantic Ocean tore through the seabed, sending its shockwaves towards the Iberian and African coastlines 260 years ago on All Saints' Day, November 1st, 1755. Directly in its path was the Portuguese city of Lisbon. At the time, Lisbon was one of the wealthiest cities in the world and the capital of a vast global empire. The earthquake measuring 9.0 generated a tsunami that devastated the city within minutes. It was followed by a fire sparked by candles that were lit in people's homes and in churches, and turned the city into an inferno for days. At the moment that the earthquake hit, many were attending Mass to celebrate All Saints' Day. By the end of the week, it was reported that over 75,000 people died as a result of the earthquake, the tsunami, and later the fire that swept through the city. Over 12,000 dwellings were destroyed. In his account of the cataclysmic disaster, Mark Maleski, an associate professor of history at Seton Hall University in South Orange, New Jersey, provides us with an account of its impact on Western thought in his book, This Gulf of Fire. It is subtitled The Destruction of Lisbon or Apocalypse in the Age of Science and Reason. In a review of Maleski's book, Emily Cataneo, a freelance writer, points out that one of the most important legacies of the earthquake was the debate it provoked among those who sought to make sense of the tragedy. Cataneo writes, "In the years following the quake, theologians, politicians, writers, philosophers all weighed in on pressing questions. How could a beneficent, all-powerful God permit a Holocaust like this? Was God to blame for the earthquake, or should thinkers focus solely on understanding the natural causes of earthquakes and tsunamis? Was Lisbon's decadence to blame?" Three of the most influential thinkers of that time were Voltaire, Kant, and Rousseau. There's no doubt that there were those who took to heart Jesus' response to the disciples who wondered about the signs that would signal the end of the world as they knew it. Jesus said, "There will be earthquakes. Do not be alarmed. This and other things must take place. But even then, the end is still to come." Voltaire, Kant, Rousseau, and many, many others were profoundly affected by the destruction of Lisbon. In our own day and time, we too wonder about the signs. It would seem that nothing has changed over the last 2.5 centuries. There are wars. There are rumors of wars. Nations continue to rise up against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms. There are earthquakes and famines. Surely the disciples who were at Jesus the day he told them that the temple would be destroyed in their lifetime were convinced that the world as they knew it was coming to an end. It was Peter, James, John, and Andrew who asked Jesus privately about the signs that would signal that the end was near. He warned them about those who would lead them astray. Perhaps a priest, perhaps a politician. Many he cautioned would come in his name. I was living in the San Francisco Bay Area 40 years ago when the Jamestown tragedy occurred. The Reverend Jim Jones, a charismatic Christian, and over 900 of his followers were found dead following the assassination of Leo Ryan, Jr., a U.S. representative from California at Port Kaituma in Guyana. Ryan had traveled to the area to investigate claims that the people were being held against their will at the People's Temple settlement that became known as Jonestown. He was killed on the same day that Jones declared the event a revolutionary suicide. Some say it was mass suicide, but others, including a few survivors, said it was mass murder. Many, Jesus cautioned the disciples, would come in his name. It would seem that we live in times filled with our own challenges and doubts, and many who come in his name declaring that the end is near. We find our own faith battered by fear and the cynicism of others. And rather than trust in God's steadfast and abiding love, we find ourselves resigned to conclude that there is nothing we can do. Our reading from the Gospel according to Mark compels us to think otherwise. Roger Nishioka was serving as an associate professor of Christian education at Columbia Theological Seminary in Decatur, Georgia, when I met him at a meeting in Honolulu several years ago. His own observation about what happened the day Jesus left the temple bears scrutiny in light of what we see occurring in our world today. As Jesus and his disciples are leaving the temple, the disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings," as if to suggest that the stones and the buildings appear immovable. Nishioka writes, "Jesus startles them with his prediction that even the great stones that form the temple will one day be thrown down." As they sit together on the Mount of Olives, gazing at the magnificent temple, the disciples must have found Jesus' words troubling, if even a little hard to imagine. Jesus tells them not to be worried and sets before them a way they are to live in the days ahead. He cautions them not to be preoccupied with the destruction of the temple or the end of the world. It would seem that we are no less tempted today to focus all our attention on the end of the world. There is nothing we can do, some say. Well-meaning Christians are convinced the end is near this time. After all, the capital of Israel has been moved to Jerusalem. Russia, the Great Bear, and China, the Yellow Horde, are on the rise. The Middle East is embroiled in conflict, and blood is running through the streets of the cities. There are many who would welcome the turmoil, but the danger we all face is that we will stop caring about each other, about others, and about the world God has entrusted into our care. We will stop caring about what God has created to sustain our lives here on earth. Jesus sets before us a way to live. amid whatever death or despair may envelop the world, and amid the desolation and disease that may strike our own lives, we put our trust and hope in the one who is faithful. Whatever difficult times may come, they cannot outlast the God we have come to know in Jesus Christ. In 2003, a commitment was made to restore the exterior walls of this church. When the church was first built, it appeared as you see it today. Because the mortar that was used to bind lava rock together was melted coral, it began to deteriorate and turn into sand. There is no record of when it was decided to shore up the structure by covering the outside walls with cement, but it was done. Over time, however, the cement began to buckle and break away from the wall, and it was then that there was talk of restoring the walls to their original condition. We learned that there was a new adhesive that could bind the coral and the lava rock without any further deterioration. When the restoration was completed in 2004, we began to wonder how those who first built this structure were able to find the lava rock needed for the walls you see surrounding us today. We knew about the location of a heiau, or temple, across the street. Some say the walls of the temple that faced the church was very high. Following the breaking of the Aikapu, or eating ban, in 1819, many of the heiau, including the one located nearby, fell into disuse and disrepair. In the decades that followed, our Hawaiian ancestors must have felt like the world was coming to an end. Like the large stones of the temple in Jerusalem that fell, so it seemed that the large stones of the heiau throughout Hawaii and here in Makena also fell. It would seem that the signs were all around them. They had already witnessed the catastrophic decline of Kanaka Maoli. Within a generation, the native population dropped from over 800,000 to 40,000 following exposure to Western diseases. And in time, they would see the loss of the land through the Great Mahele, or land division, that led to private land ownership. And that was followed by the overthrow of Liliuokalani in 1893 by American business interests and the loss of a nation. Within a generation, it seemed that the world they knew was coming to an end. Yet despite the signs of what was a series of apocalyptic occurrences in the life of our Hawaiian ancestors, by God's grace, despair was transformed into hope, and emptiness was filled with new life. I remember saying to an archaeologist who came by one day, the lava rock had to come from somewhere. Could it be that it came from the temple, I asked. He replied, it's very likely. Although there are no records to confirm that that was the case, we have cause to celebrate the very real possibility that the physical foundation of this church has been established upon the stones of an ancient temple. We also have cause to celebrate the spiritual foundation of the early church that is rooted in the affirmation of faith made by Peter. When Jesus asked Peter, who do you say I am? Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered, I tell you, on this rock, Maluna ikeia pohaku, on this rock, upon this affirmation of faith, I will build my church. So it is that the spiritual foundation of this church is the affirmation we share with Peter. It's also the conviction we share with the psalmist. In you, O Lord, we seek refuge. Do not let us ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver us. Be a rock of refuge for us, a strong fortress to save us. You are indeed our rock and our fortress. We may look upon the conflicts and wars and the earthquakes and famines as what must take place before the world comes to an end. But the final word is not that all will come to an end. Instead, it is about a new beginning. Jesus said, "This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." So rather than be overwhelmed by despair, we hold fast to the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ. While others may be anxious and wanting to usher in the end of the world, let us instead be anxious in preaching good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let those who are oppressed go free, to proclaim that now is not the end of the world, but the acceptable year of the Lord. May it be so.
As our service comes to a close, we ask that you stand if you are able as we sing hymn number 403, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less."
So there are days when I think all hell has broken loose. And yesterday I was reminded, I was down here in the late afternoon, there was a couple out here, mom and dad, picking white plumeria from the tree, or yellow plumeria. And I came out and I said, "Justin, what are you folks doing?" And he said, "Oh, our daughter's dancing hula, so we have to pick about 20 of them to make a lei, and a little bit more to make a lei po'o, a head lei." And I think what I realized in that moment, you know, it may seem like we're going to hell in a handbasket, but we also have to live. Yeah? We have to take care of each other. We have to take care of a little girl who's going to go dance hula. So, if any of you are inclined to want to usher in the end of the world, I'm not one of those people. So,
As the benediction is offered, may you in your hearts bless one another. Imawa kukuluku maika'i o kahaku Yesu Christo. Me ke aloha o ke akua, me ka lana puana o ka uhane himolele, me ka koa pau. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Aloha.